This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Thank you, Mara. Okay, I'll call this meeting to order at 6:12. Mara, could you determine a quorum?
Sarah Holmgren?
Here.
Jay Lister?
Here.
Carrie Kay?
Here.
Katie Holmland?
Here.
Nicole Olson?
She's excused.
Charlotte Martin?
Here.
Okay.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. All right, you rise in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve January 17th, 2023's agenda. Could I have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Charlotte, student representative report.
All right, so we have finals week, so it's been kind of busy. We have Friday off, then we had a regular day on Monday, but today, tomorrow, and Thursday, we've been testing. And basketball has been traveling a lot, and we're having homecoming this weekend. And that's mostly what's been occupying us. There's not a whole lot, but it's been pretty busy.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Mara, any correspondence?
None.
Okay, we'll move on to comments from audience unrelated to agenda items. If there is anybody here, other than comments from the audience related to agenda items. Okay, hearing none, comments from board members. We'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Could I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. Any discussion? All right. Mark, could you please call the roll?
Charlotte Martin? Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to our administrative reports. Boy, we're moving right along. First, we'll start out with superintendent reports. Superintendent Clint Painter.
Okay. Well, good to see everybody. I did include this report. We all did this month, so I'll try not to go through too many of them. Just a reminder to people out there who are interested and people in the room and on the board that we do have our comment link out available for feedback for teachers and principals and superintendent for all of us. People are out there and want to give us some feedback, positive or suggestions. It would all be great. Continuing to discuss and kind of hone in a little bit on the attendance issue, which we're having a work session tonight, so I won't go too far down that road. And then also just a quick note on the READS Act that we did have a really successful first session. We had put out, you know, posted and advertised to have three conversations with the community, and had about 25 people, I think, probably at the first one, and it was last Friday right before pickup at the elementary, and then we're doing another one Friday morning this week at 9, also in the library, and then we're doing another one next Tuesday night, so we tried to move them around for times and have the conversation. So that slideshow that we use was shared with you, and it's shared for anybody out there that wants to see it, and we will talk more about that when we get to our work session. Just another comment about the grants that we're participating in. We are coming up on the RTI MTSS Effective Instruction Conference next week, and that is encompassing a pretty large group of staff members from the district, from the elementary and high school, and administrators. So we have received funding for those through those grants, and we're looking forward to that. The elementary recently participated in the pilot, or we are participating in the pilot for the new screener, and Heather, I'm sure, will talk a little bit more about that. We have the second reading of the tobacco-free schools policy and the AR related to that for vaping, and vape sensors are up and running for a couple weeks, and we haven't had a real alarm yet. We've had some interesting, one interesting situation in the shop, but we've got that. We're working on that. So we are working on getting our lockdown evacuation drill scheduled, and it will probably be in the next week and a half or so. I attended a local emergency planning committee meeting at the fire hall last week. That was the first one in probably 4 years or so, and that's the first one with now Aaron Hankins, who's the new coordinator up there. So that was good to get everybody back in the same room, you know, and kind of get going on those hazard plans and community plans and drills and all that stuff. So that was good. We're meeting again with LCG Land Tech about the office remodel over here with the plans and trying to get some cost estimates for that. It will be the end of this month when we get the cost estimates for the roof, and we are continuing to move forward with getting, our goal is still to have that be on the September, you know, this next school year's CIP list at the state, and we're on track for that. So probably in February we'll have more specific numbers just for your information and for the borough's information. We're moving forward with that. District strategic planning has been moved to March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. The 21st is the evening session with the board and us, and then the 22nd and 23rd will be at least one full day and then a half with our committee. Budgets. The time is upon us. So Karen and I are going to the legislative fly-in the end of February, and then we are also scheduling a conversation with the borough, with Manager Giesbrecht and with Jody Tao, Karen and I, in just a few weeks. And we would also like to talk about scheduling a budget work session with the board. So I think we're looking at February 15th, meeting with Steve and Jody, and then Karen and I are just kind of throwing out an idea of February 22nd. I don't know what that looks like for people.
You said the 22nd?
February 22nd.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Time.
It's like, holy cow, how did you know? Six-ish already.
Six? Bring some pizza. Should be bringing pizza to these days. Anyway, but budget work session on February 20th. I don't know if that works, if that's tentative,
so
if we could kind of
good.
Plug
we're
that in. Because then that,
yeah.
Then we'll have met with Steve and Jody. We're working on fleshing out some numbers for you, for them, for you, for all of us,
okay.
And also trying to work to put together all that information to go to the fly-in, which
right.
is that week also, the 26th.
Okay.
So it's all kind of in a row.
Okay.
We're doing all the information. We're doing all the work now. We might as well get it all kind of prepped. Yeah.
I'll be here.
So that will work.
Change the date.
Yeah.
Okay. Seems good. And then we'll get a policy committee on February 1st with Carrie, and we need to solidify a policy about some of our graduation requirements after science adoption last spring. It goes into place with next year freshmen. We need to update the language in the graduation policy. and, I'm sorry, graduation requirements, credits. Just one comment about the budget. So just talking a little bit, I don't know if you saw the ADN article, but if you haven't, I'll forward it to you from about what Anchorage is doing, has done, and what all the districts are being asked to do as well, which is really a concerted effort as a state to make this case to the legislature about what is needed with this BSA increase, that it is not acceptable to keep going the way that we're going, and you know, going flat with a $30 pittance of an amount that's been agreed upon at this point to implement, you know, a Reeds Act that's going to require what it requires in addition to everything else that's just, you know, inflation of 15% and all those things. Like, it's ridiculous. So anyway, Anchorage has already put their number out. They have put out a number of $860 on top of the $5,960, and so we're all being asked as districts to basically try to come up with a number that is essentially making us whole in that sense, and not necessarily even going well beyond, but you know, what actually should it be reflecting with regard to inflation and all the rest. So we can send it to you if you haven't seen it, but you can also Google it. It was just last week, so. That is what's happening there.
Okay.
That's what I know.
Thank you. Any questions? I did, before I forget,
okay.
I'm only saying it because I forget, I did write it down, but to tell you and Aaron, so the roof calculation.
Yes.
Right now, I found out, because I'm on the housing task force, one of the things that Gary Albach brought up were several things that were unique that Petersburg were required to do, but not other cities. And so they thought it was, you know, like our insulation factor, and one of them is our roof load. We're 150 pounds. Sitka is 50. Anchorage is 60. But somehow Petersburg got rated at 150 pounds.
Anchorage is 60?
Yeah. So the borough is working to get that changed and corrected. So I just wanted to at least pass that on, because the architects are probably going to look and see what's required for Petersburg, and that
indeed.
It will be thousands cheaper, of course, if you don't have to have that snow load. Nowhere in the state except is it 150?
We have the highest. Okay.
And so someone, we even joked saying, did someone put a 1 in front of our rating, and it should be 50 instead of 150? But, and then Gary did say none, he says the library was not built at 150. He says when he built the Viking Travel Building was not built at 150. But that is what the rule is right now. So any commercial building needing to be built in Petersburg would have to be rated at 150 pounds per square foot for snow load.
Okay.
My concern would be is if they're wanting to upgrade anything. I just don't remember from our conversations whether they were saying, now we have to meet this. Because we're redoing your whole roof.
They did. I do remember them mentioning having to research about that.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if that's.
That's
we
what
are talking
find.
With them on Friday about
the
office.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just add that question.
Yeah, that'd be great. Because I think, you know, it sounds like it was going to be something that first had to be researched on why, and then they would be able to change it. And there was a few other things, but that's all residential, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But that one, I thought, when I'm sitting there, I thought, that might affect our roof at the school. So, anyway.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Any other comments or questions?
No.
Okay. We'll move on to elementary principals report, Principal Kahn.
So I think I'll just highlight what's happened and what is coming. We've had our first Reeds Act discussion. That went really well. There's 20-some people, as Erica had mentioned. And it was well received. And I think that we are looking at opening up the doors to some conversations and how do we address our legislation and what does that look like and how can we advocate. So I was pretty impressed and excited to see everybody there. We have two more to go, and one this week and one next week. We also, coming up, we have our classroom spelling bee. It's optional, and so those who want to participate will participate. And the conference is coming up along with our kickoff for our readathon, Dr. Seuss, month of February, and we are celebrating that with a literacy night kickoff on February 1st and then a literacy night kickoff on March 1st. We're going to celebrate his birthday a day early. But it's going to be good. We just needed to celebrate it a day early because of because the conference is on March 2nd. So March 1st is going to be the celebration, the mock birthday. The district spelling bee will come up. That's a little bit tentative, deciding on what we do, because middle school is not participating in the spelling bee, so that will be more changes probably to come. And then conferences, March 2nd and 3rd. We do have our Bring Your Parents to PE Day happening on February 8th. A bunch of staff, K-3, Mrs. Wormack, Mrs. Lenhard, Ms. Setcher, myself, Fry, we participated in the literacy screening. We signed up for a trial, just knowing that we've also signed up for the ELA curriculum, and that's going to be a lot of training coming in this fall. And so we were trying to get a couple things off of our plate. In doing so, we put a lot on our plate for this winter and spring, but that's okay. We're going to get there. So we are doing the literacy screening. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to what that data is going to bring for our students and really dig into where those holes are. It's been a lot of background right now. I think we've spent a lot of hours on chat, on hold, on phone calls, trying to set up systems and get everything in there. So tracking it all, so we have to get back to the state. But I think it's going to, in the long run, when it's all set up, and everybody's trained and everybody's familiar with it, it's going to be just fine. All right, and that is it. Any questions?
Okay, thank you very much. All right, next, middle school, high school report. Principal Moss.
Hey, everybody. So, how are you doing today? We have, as Charlotte said, we have finals, which is funny because the high school students are being really, really, I'm not seeing a lot of stress. Where I'm seeing stress is the middle school students are acting up this week in a way they haven't in a few months. So I'm not sure what the connection is. It's the last week of the semester for everybody, so I think everybody's feeling the pinch of accountability or something like that. So we will see. I'm seeing a lot of procrastination ended. I think a lot of people are really, I'm seeing students who hadn't been sort of showing signs of life the way I would have wanted to, who are now definitely picking up the pace as we get closer to showtime. So I'm very heartened to hear that, to see that. I'm observing that students who've been really challenging, who are really stepping up and seem to be putting it together here. As was said a couple of times, the vape sensors are in. It's kind of the surreal thing. If it's already leading to harm reduction, great. You know, I think that the whole thing, I was talking to John KP about this and said, I really do want something to go off that students know it's been activated, because I think part of the whole, you know, of course they're great to help, you know, catch people in the act, but actually catching people in the act is not what we're really going for. What we're really going for is deterrence. And I have heard that it is a deterrence, but I've also heard that there may be still some flies in the ointment, that it's not working 100%. So it is kind of surreal. It's not so far going completely as advertised. I was told in a group, in a principal's group, that when they were installed, they were likely to go off frequently, and they haven't. So I don't know what the situation of that. I think we just need more time. But so far, so good. They've actually only gone. We haven't had a legit, to our knowledge, ringing of it yet. So either they work really well as a deterrent, or they're not working, and that's why it's not going off. We hope it's the former, not the latter. But if it's not, then we're hoping that will fine-tune this eventually. I'm not surprised that something that complicated would not be just a slam dunk, easy installation right away. The big news for us, I guess, is that we have, at the end of February, Cognia accreditation. For those of you who are newer to the board, and even those who are not, previously it was called Advanced Ed. That was the body of the agency that accredits high schools in Alaska and many other places. I worked with Advanced Ed at an overseas school in Latin America, for example. And we had had some working meetings. We've had some working meetings with staff. Now, even though it's high school, you know, in Hawaii, for example, accreditation is for the entire K through 12 district, because there are practices that, even though they're, you know, considered maybe high school, but a lot of the type of practices should be practiced by an entire district across the K-12 spectrum. So what I'm hoping is that some of the input that they're giving us is going to serve us at strategic planning, because that was actually, though I, you know, nobody wants to be new as a principal arriving in an accreditation year, because you don't know where everything's hidden and stuff. So, but since we have strategic planning the same year, it's a perfect opportunity to kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, and to engage in practices that are going to help the whole district over the life of a five-year accreditation cycle. I don't think, because I've been on accreditation teams all over California and the Far East in particular, and I believe that they will give us some to-do list, so we won't just have 5 years no additional worker visit. I predict that they will ask us to present a couple of things in a year or two. They'll want some evidence of that we're taking them up on some of the suggestions that they're making, and there will be mostly process kind of things, like how do we get from the data that we gather to an action plan? How does that work? How do we analyze the data? What does it tell us? How do we study it? Do we actually put data into action to create action plan for school improvement? There should be a continuing process of school improvement, and that should be delineated in the strategic planning as well. So it's not just a one-shot deal. It's really across the board. Finally, the last thing is we're definitely having a lot of absences from school that are not just activities and illness related. There's just I'm concerned that we have a higher than normal pattern of absences, some of which I think clearly can be attributed to what's happened over the last 2 years. But I'm concerned that if we don't get a handle on it, it's not going to improve even after the shelf life of the pandemic excuse wanes. But we will still, I think there are several common sense things that we can do to help remedy this soon. So other than that, not much. Other things are going really well. I think overall student behavior, student interaction is very positive. It's a really great community. The school community is really pleasant, and a lot of people, for, you know, there's students out there sitting out there now still studying because they don't want to go home. They want to stay here and study in the dark outside, but it's light and warm in here, so it's great. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments? All right. Thank you. All right, next what we will have is Director of Activities, Mr. Cabral. He's meeting, it's a little easier.
Hi. It's been a while. I know, I can walk. Yay. Staying busy as always with activities. For those of you that didn't hear, Kyle Biggers, our first state champion since 2018 for wrestling. So congratulations to Kyle. It was an awesome match to watch up there. And our team finished fourth overall. So some people thought, I'm going to explain how the divisions work. That way people can understand that whole piece. So each sport, each activity within Alaska goes into different divisions. So I think there was something out there like, oh, we won state championship for Division II. We were actually finished fourth, but wrestling is separated as D1 and D2 based on enrollment. Basketball and volleyball are the only activities separated by 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A. Cross-country, D1, D2, D3, based on enrollment, and then participation numbers. So, but we were if you went by the two-way, we were the highest finishing two-way, but it's not recognized by ASAA. So, but the kids did really well. I mean, 90 points was superb. They did awesome. So Coach Valentine, Coach Girl did a great job there. That's one of the highest finishes we had in a long time. So kudos to them. Basketball and cheer, rolling basketball games this weekend. If you're bored, games starting at 3 o'clock on our website, on Petersburg High School's website, on the activities page. If you go to Petersburg High School, it's going to take you to that link. And so if you're looking for a schedule, it's separated by boys and girls. So if you click on the boys It's going to take you to a website called MaxPreps. And so we are now mandated by the state to enter every single game score into MaxPreps. Mm-hmm. So we can keep all of everything, like a track record of every single game, team standings, and everything else. So those links on our website will take you straight to individual MaxPreps pages. So as soon as the game's over, I enter our score for every game that's going on. It was a little bit hard to see the score this past weekend with our Craig game, so I was like calling people, even old ADs that were over there. I'm like, are you at the game? No, I'm at home. Okay, never mind, call somebody else. But we got all the scores. So that will take you straight to MaxPreps. You can even see the projected schedule for basketball and for the JV teams. There's tabs on there, too, that you can flip between both of them. So that kind of cool, kind of clunky. Once you fiddle around with it, you'll find it. Cheer's going great. We had a wonderful cheer clinic this past weekend with 40 little ones. They will be performing this weekend at halftime of the 6 p.m. game. So it's going to be pretty darn cute.
Saturday.
Just letting you guys know. I got the
Friday or Saturday?
Friday and Saturday.
Oh, both.
Both nights. We're going to work them. But it's really cool. I got the sneak peek. It was great. Middle school wrestling has begun. We're doing great up there. We're getting more numbers coming in as we go, which is going awesome. Middle school Native Youth Olympics will begin next week. Our tournament, there is no virtual this year. Cook Inlet Tribal Council is doing everything up in Anchorage. However, we have one in Southeast, which is the one we went to last year, and sixth graders are open on that one. So traditional games in Juneau, April 1 and 2 is our plan. The dates just came out. It's going to be fantastic. We have 16 kids right now interested. So, yay. It's going to be awesome. And recruited somebody to come and help me, too. So it's great because I can't demo everything yet. Pretty soon. A couple new items. If you see some kids around sooner or later, as soon as it comes in, I'm going to have some hot pink t-shirts running around our events for the rest of the year. This is called our student event management crew. You probably saw them helping me out sweep the floors the last couple home games. And these are all kids, open to any kid who wants to come and help out and be involved. They don't have to be in any activity, which is great. It's just to get kids more united with the school and helping out with all the different things that happen on a weekend so they're not bored. We have like 9 interested, so whenever their schedules work, they're going to come and join us. Salt, I can go over sometimes because I know we got a lot on the agenda. But that's just a student activities leadership team idea that I stole from the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Conference that we had down in Nashville that I just got back from. I stole those 2 ideas from 2 other ADs. So it's great. ASA has approved badminton. Badminton is now a sanctioned activity in the state of Alaska. So the season, which we're going to have to kind of figure, and a lot of schools are trying to figure it out, is March 6th through May 6th. So there's an overlap period there. But badminton is now, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with schedules and all of that. But it is approved, and we are rolling. So I think Marcia Sandhoffer and Sarah Holgreen decided to coach. I love badminton. Badminton's so good. So the categories that we're going to divide them up into is boys and girls singles, boys and girls doubles, mixed doubles. Wow. So those are going to be the categories that we're going. Right now, I think there's like 26 schools. A lot of them are 1A schools out in the bush that don't really have anything in the spring, so it keeps them involved with their schools and their communities, which is really good. So we're going to see how we kind of finagle that into our system. So it'll be great. And another thing that got approved that will kind of affect us, a lot of the TUIs across the state, the last couple of years, we would be the only school with a JV team. And we would never have other teams that would bring JVs to play us. And so we'd have to do blue and white scrimmages and all of this. So the board of directors kind of came up with an idea of how it would work to help salvage some of the programs and get kids out. So what has passed, and it takes an annual application to do, and we're just going to look at it. We need to look at it because our numbers are really good this year. It is approved statewide that 8th graders can be used at the JV level for mixed 6 volleyball, basketball, in schools that are classified as 1As or 2As. So that we fall into that category. So we could use 8th graders to participate or practice in JV games only. Now we get to the point where we got to think about it ethically. Do we really want to pull an 8th grader up early to like kind of take time from a freshman or a sophomore? But I think our coaches understand that we just want them practicing and participating. If our numbers drop below
helps the JV program. So this really helps, like some of our schools in Southeast that had 6 kids total in their entire basketball high school team. And so it kind of helps us out to get those games for our younger kids. So trying to navigate that whole piece and that whole water to see if it really, if we need it. But we can, they can practice with our kids anytime. But we'll see how this progresses down the road. So that's going to be a big one that changes a little bit. So we'll be looking at that one. And then just got back from Nashville. It was, well, not just back in December. It was really good. I am on the National Coaches Education Committee. We work with the National Federation that makes the rule books, and we're trying to get coaches education. There are 8 of us that kind of control all of that, which is awesome. It's very intimidating, but it's very, very good. And then we started a new program called the Alaska Interscholastic Administrators Association just to help educate our ADs across the state because there's so much turnover. And that is led by Dale Ewart out of Palmer and myself. So we're on this Alaska committee just trying to help educate. The turnover rate is large. 20 schools, we had 16 new ADs this year. So it's retraining ADs every year. And things slip through the cracks, and that kind of affects our kids when we're off on the road. So retraining ADs is pretty tough. But we're getting there. Heather, I know you're going to kill me because I'm going long. I know. And then we started Ping. We met up with our Ping committee, our Petersburg Indigenous Native group, looking to get our group back going to Sitka, working with Founders Week over at Edgecombe, then coming back and then teaming up and doing everything for Heather because I went too long talking. But we're going to work on some things there. But we got a good turnout, good parent response to some that couldn't make it but that wanted information. So that's all I got. Okay. Sorry.
Exciting.
Seeing you guys in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any questions? Thomas?
The game's broadcast this weekend still?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think they're going to do it on the radio. We for sure have it on NFHS. Everything's up there. Yeah. Ready to rumble.
I will admit, when I went into my account, I realized that I have to pick PHS for you to get a portion for the...
If you click the star.
Yeah. Yes. I just said I had followed PHS, but it wasn't...
Like
it said,
their school.
Yes. And so I was like, my subscription hasn't been coming to the district.
That's okay.
But I just thought I'd broadcast that for other people. Yes, you did.
Yeah, so if you're a Petersburg person that buys that subscription and you click Petersburg as your host school, 10% of whatever your payment was comes back to the school and we put that into our scholarship.
Yeah.
And we got the first quarter check already. It was perfect. It's wonderful. It's good.
Good.
Yeah, it comes back and helps the kids, so.
Well,
awesome.
Someone was smarter than, obviously, many more were smarter than me, but I thought, in case someone else out there did the same thing I did, go click it.
No, it's wonderful. Yeah, we love the camera. It's great.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to our committee reports. Crisis? Probably not. Okay. And curriculum?
No.
Facilities, Jay? Probably not. Okay, we don't have legislative liaison or negotiations. Policy, you guys have.
We're
going to be meeting soon.
February 1st.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have a few on under old business to continue with. And technology, probably not. Oh, and then wellness, probably. Yeah.
No.
It's usually pretty quiet right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. We'll move on to number 13, old business, which is the policies that we examined last month. 13.1 is, I'll make a motion to, in our second reading, of a new board policy, BP 3522, which is connected to Administrative Regulation 3522 and E3522, our District Data Protection Program, in its second reading. I guess we need to actually do a public hearing. So I'll recess, sorry. Of course, I should know that by now, but okay, recess to a public hearing about board policy 3522. Anybody want to talk about it? Or hearing none? Okay, we'll come out of recess for that one. Any discussion further on this particular policy? Okay, hearing none. Mara, can you please call the roll?
Yep. Charlotte Martin?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to 13.2, which is our other board policy that we need to have a public hearing on, which is 35.3, the tobacco-free schools, in our second reading. So I will now recess to public hearing on that particular board policy. Are there any testimony from the public? Or hearing none? Okay, come out of our public hearing. And any discussion from board members regarding that policy? Paying hearing none. Mark, could you call the roll?
Charlotte Martin.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Carrie Case.
Yes.
Katie Holmgren.
Yes. Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to new business, which is our acceptance of a grant award for English language arts. The school district was awarded the ELA curriculum grant from the state of Alaska, which includes funds to purchase a new English language arts curriculum, as well as travel for 5 educators to attend the January RT/MTSS conference, which we just heard about a little bit ago, which means the response to intervention multi-tiered system of support, and the April Science of Reading Symposium. And both of those conferences are in Anchorage. Could I have a second?
Seconded.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any further description? It's nice that we were able to get that you guys worked so hard to get that grant so that I can pay for all that training, but...
And maybe just to look up a little bit, the language arts grant, the programs that were sort of selected through the process that I discussed a little bit earlier about with our team and with mm-hmm. the committee that was leading us through it, that's where we ended up ranking those 4 options, and then those are the 4 that we're going forward to look at when we are in Anchorage in person. We have a whole day dedicated to that with other teams that are in this grant, and so there will be more in-depth opportunity to dive into those curriculum options, and then those 4 will end up being ones that are sort of on that approved state list. So the curriculum purchase amount that can go towards the curriculum itself is $104,000, which is very helpful because ELA curriculum is expensive, and this will help support the core instruction, the tier 1 instruction for our elementary kids. So it's a great opportunity for us.
So then the balance between the award of 104?
Yes, is then all that, the other $12,500 for the RTI travel to the mm-hmm. conference next week, and then $12,500 for the symposium on reading that's mm-hmm. happening in April. And that pays for all of those people to go to those trainings and participate.
Oh, got it. Okay.
In those trainings. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're not having to fund
either of
those that trip.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those trips.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Mark, can you please call the roll?
Charlotte Martin. Yes. Carrie Case.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes. Okay, motion passes. Next, 14.2, which is our next, our school year calendar for the next school year, the 2023-24. The superintendent will present several draft versions, maybe 2? Are you doing 2?
3.
There's 3 total? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know why I was thinking 2. We don't actually vote on it, but just get feedback. So we've got 3 different options.
Yeah.
Interesting to look at those.
Do you guys have them? I mean, we'll put them up here too, but there's also...
So 2 of them starting students on the 23rd. The other one was very similar to this last year where we are starting August 29th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of like the February, having an extra week in February. I'm like, how did we manage that? But it's starting earlier.
Yep. So if just to go through a little bit of these, the draft, the first option that you look at, and then if people are out there listening, and also if people can go find it on the website as well if they want to look at these, is basically the exact same, you know, calendar to what we have this year. Christmas on all of these is a little bit odd because of the date and the date of Christmas. So either, you know, you're too much on one end or too much on the other end. So we are actually doing a midweek and then coming back on a midweek. And there were quite a few districts actually just even this Christmas that did that. And at first you look at it and think, well, that, how's that going to work? And it's 3 days. And what does that look like? But I really think it actually can work really well. And we talked a bit with high school staff on Friday about this because this is kind of a bigger impact for them, talking about their final schedule and semester. And it's not as big of an issue for middle and elementary, that particular issue, but people felt confident, even though those semesters are fairly unequal in numbers if you look at the days on this particular calendar, 76 and then 96. The staff, from their feedback, felt like that because there's so many different activities that happen in the spring with, you know, close-up and art fest and seniors graduate a week or anyway, they didn't necessarily think that was a hindrance to trying to end the semester before Christmas. So talking about what that finals week might look like could be that week, those 3 days, and that's what it is, you know. So the day of giving, that whole thing could be a different, would be a, maybe a different time, and maybe that's even a better time to do it somewhere in the spring, and I don't know, tie it to other activities. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So that is option one. Anybody has any thoughts or questions there? The next one does, as Sarah mentioned, some of the conversation that we had in December and that has been coming up just around this attendance discussion and also looking at the calendar and being, you know, sort of throwing it out there for the conversation about travel and what things look like for people and acknowledging that there are, you know, we do have families that due to their work and their summer life and fishing and all those things, the calendars don't always work for them. And so one option that we are putting out there just, you know, to get the conversation started is starting, as I think, Sarah, you mentioned, like the first day would be about a week earlier in August. So the first day for students would be around the 23rd on this calendar. And then the discussion about, you know, putting potentially another week into the calendar, and does that help address potentially some of the families and people that are like that is a thing that could work better for their families, and maybe that's a way of us sort of extending some sort of a compromise in the sense of if we're really trying to kind of address this attendance conversation and needing to get people kind of to have this conversation with us and know where we are and what the concerns are, does that help? Is that something that might help families, and that if they could attach to that week rather than it being just another week that's, you know, out for kids? Maybe trying to work with families also on scheduling, you know, maybe it's medical trips and things like that, if that's an opportunity for people to do it. I'm not married to the date. I'm not married to the idea. I'm just putting it out there. So that's where it is. I mean, there could be conversation about it being bumped up against in March. Maybe it's 2 weeks in March and instead of that. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. We're just throwing that out there after some of the discussion that was had. Starting on the 23rd in August with that additional week in there does still get us out in May during that week right after Memorial Weekend. So both option one and option two both end on that same date. Those semester dates are closer by, you know, 5 days. Any thoughts on that one? Comments? Okay. And then basically option three is really option two, except without the extra week in February. So it's...
So then you're getting out a little bit earlier.
You're out prior to Memorial Weekend, but also still starting on that August 23rd date. So, and as we were kind of laughing about, and we always talk about when we do calendars, well, we can't start that early. We can't go that late. We can't get out that early. All those things. You know, there will always be sort of a reason or a fishery or a something or a prep for a fishery or whatever that looks like. So we definitely want to acknowledge that we have people involved in fisheries on both ends of that, depending, but we're not going to get away from that. One end or the other. So, any feedback or thoughts from you guys as we're putting together an option?
I don't have a strong opinion on any of the three. I do kind of, I guess if I'm leaning toward one versus the other, for strictly personal reasons, would be, yeah, it'd be kind of nice a week in February to take off when the weather's terrible. Versus waiting till March and kind of splitting those up when you would. But if we didn't have it, we haven't had it, so it doesn't really, you know, I guess I just not too worried about it.
What's the fishery in the spring if it went a week later instead of starting earlier?
Coming up on, mostly it's just crabbing or people going to the bay, but they've got a couple weeks regardless in June. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so I'm just kind of curious. I know the seiners kind of, it seems like they're always pushing later.
It pushes way into September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well beyond.
Versus going a week later. Into June a little bit mm-hmm. versus...
Yeah, the only thing is that August 16th for teachers to be back is, I don't know what their thoughts were on that. Seems early, but it's kind of what you're used to and then what you're doing.
I think that is nice to have that week in February that maybe mm-hmm. people want to take a vacation and do it then so they're not, kids aren't missing school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
okay.
My ideas.
Did you get staff feedback yet or no?
They're out for people if they want
to
give thoughts. Yeah. I don't know that we're necessarily doing votes or any of that sort of thing with them either, but we put them out and people can certainly give feedback and talk with staff or with their principals or with me or you
mm-hmm.
if they want. But they have strong feelings about it. What do you think, Katie?
I like the idea of a week off in spring. I mean, a week off for other people. Mm-hmm. But, like, that February time, Spain fisheries, like, what crabber is going to want to go on vacation? Then they're prepping gear. So, you know, it's just one fishery or another, like you said. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a strong opinion either way. I'm not going on vacation anytime soon.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
And it's a shot in the dark. I mean, that's the thing. You know, when we talk about this, it's in a larger context of the conversation about attendance in general, right? I mean, so it isn't really, like you said, it's...
A two-week spring break sounds really appealing, too, because it takes forever to get anywhere. So, you know, we got a couple travel days built in, and that would probably be more. But then it's like the childcare situation and trying to find different care for your kid for two whole weeks could be tricky. Yeah, being able to go somewhere more than just Seattle or Anchorage for mm-hmm. spring break would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And not be missing school.
Okay. So maybe more of a thought about that, bumping up against spring break.
Sorry, no, I've given you four options.
Mm-hmm. There's always an option.
There's always options.
And there's always a reason to
just
do
go
it.
Go year-round.
And always a reason not to
change
do it.
Change calendar. Yeah.
What do you think, Carrie?
You know, I would say one was popping out to me that I liked a little bit more, but I don't have any real strong feelings would be option two, just because, we've been talking about attendance and are there ways to give people other opportunities to travel, and that break in February does provide that, but so could potentially longer time at spring break.
Mm-hmm. Any feedback on any of those, and you can always get back to me.
Okay.
Something else you think of that you want us to consider, or do that. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Any additional comments from board members? Upcoming dates and media announcements. It sounds like basketball games this weekend. Sounds like the testing did not. A little hiccup today with MAP testing at the grade school, so next week that was been rescheduled for, so parents make sure they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, for 4th and 5th graders, we're moving up next week.
Oh, okay, just 4th and 5th?
Just 4th and 5th graders who need to take it on the MacBook, which is where the glitch happened. The iPads are still working, so we're still
okay.
For those younger grades on the iPads this week. Okay, split up a little bit.
Spread the love.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought it affected the whole grade school, and I thought, oh, dear.
Yeah, the iPads were not affected.
Okay.
It was the computers themselves.
Okay.
And John's working on it diligently and hoping to have a resolution tomorrow, but just to, relieve pressure and for planning and stress and everything else, it was just decided to push 4th and 5th grade to next week.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other?
And then high school and middle school will be the week after.
Okay.
From their math.
Give them a little bit break, at least the high school for finals week.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're going to test you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other? Okay. Future agenda items?
You will want to decide about a March meeting. It is currently during spring break.
Okay.
And whether you want to go prior or after.
You feel like you could make that decision this evening, and then we don't have to... think about next week, next month.
The week after is the Tuesday that Timmy arrives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe the week before.
The week before.
The 7th?
The week before would be my...
Okay. So March 7th.
7th.
Okay. That highlighted. Okay. Any other new business? Okay. Hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
A second. Oh, sorry.
Motion made and
seconded.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Good night.